For me, those times when the rest of the world is sleeping is when I can have a lot of creative energy. So early morning or late in the night. I believe life is a sine wave, and sine waves is a really smooth wave which goes up and down.
But don't burn my phone, my microphone. Long take. So let's start. So we are here in Malé City. I'm meeting
Fira.
Fira?
Yeah.
Maybe say a few words about yourself.
Yeah, Fira. Hi, my name's Fira from the Maldives, Malé City. That's where I'm from. Little hell disguised in paradise. Because Maldives is paradise for everyone else, ain't it? Yeah. Basically a musician, artist, creative, and a freak who's trying to make shit work.
So being a musician or an artist in Malé on the surface, what does it mean? Is it something people think it's cool, or is it something people are afraid of or think it's a bad way to live? On the surface, what does it mean to be an artist in the Maldives?
To be as an artist in the Maldives, on the surface, well, you need to consider there's like two types of music everywhere, right? There's the commercially accepted side, and then there's the underground factor of it. So being a musician, if you are, for the majority of Maldivians, let's say, if you're successfully making money, you accept it. Yeah, he's doing something in his life, you know. And that means playing resort music, so playing like wedding gigs or whatnot. Or else if you're on TV as a pop artist, which usually means playing rip-off songs, like, you know, like most third world countries, you're successful. But if you're trying to be an underground musician and trying to make ends work, making your own music, which people really understand, then they do judge you for being that. But I haven't faced any backlash per se that music is a bad thing. Now, you need to understand Maldives is also a Muslim country, and then there are some sectors or people of Muslims who says music is haram. It's like, you know, so it's confusing, to say the least. But on the surface, for a person, like, you know, when it comes, oh, you're a musician living in Maldives, or like, you know, if I go meet someone and like, oh, you're a musician, wow, that's like the usual response, like, wow. I'm pretty sure inside their head they'll be like, oh, is he making it work, you know, a musician, get him.
And we were talking before a little bit and went through your music and your videos and your art work.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing that I recognized, or that we recognize, is that most of your work is in English.
Yes.
Why is that?
Main reason which my work is in English is because I grew up believing or being taught that English is like a universal language, and that's what we were taught. It's cool a lot to speak English. And I want to target the world, and I want my music to reach the world. I want what I have to say to be understood by anyone who's listening it. Hence, I like to write it in English, because I'm not catering just to the local market here, which is what most of the other people are doing. They want their closest people to appreciate them, their neighbors to know, like, yeah, but I would love my neighboring country to know instead of my next door neighbor. I suppose that's the driving force behind it, like why I write in English. I mean, I'm speaking to you in English, like, you know.
Thank God you're speaking in English. And if we go beyond, under the surface, what does it mean to be an artist for yourself? I mean, how does a day of Fira look like, for example?
Okay, so how does a day with Fira look like? I wake up and...
Which time?
Oh, I wake up really, really early. I wake up like 5 or 6, which is weird for a lot of my friends because they sleep late. They, like, even if I sleep 3 in the night, usually I would end up sleeping trying to work on something, like make something or learn something new musically or creatively. And I would struggle trying to make that, and I would end up sleeping, and I wake up early in the morning and I would jump straight back into it. And it becomes easy. Like, you know, for me, those times when the rest of the world is sleeping is when I can have a lot of creative energy. So early morning or late in the night, I'm usually taking naps around this time, like midday or something, because that's when everyone's up and there's a lot of negative energy in this small place. Like, everyone's wah, 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 wah. It kind of disrupts my energy. I suppose that's the reason.
Do you feel that energy because we are sitting here in Fira's room.
Mm-hmm.
He has equipment here, sound equipment.
My little safe zone, my little safe space.
He has an air conditioning that I said, let's cut it off. We already start suffering. And he has a curtain, so you don't see the outside world. You still feel it or you hear it. Is it a different noise level?
I suppose I feel it, like... Being here, growing up here, and then realizing how much of a cramped place this is. Like, you know, I have this deep feeling that everyone has, like, this set of energy around them, okay? Which they're resonating around. So if you're having a really bad day, person next to them could somehow detect it or something. Now, we're up on the 9th floor, and then the apartment and this and the apartment, there's so many families living on this building, and like, you know, it's just chaotic. It's just chaotic. And then I think by being a creative of, like, the person I am, I'm kind of like an antenna. Like, so I need my set of peace to be able to work. And like, for me, what I consider working is making new music, making new art. It's not that there's an income connected to it. So when most people, they say work, there's always a guaranteed income coming into it. What I do, most people, normality, would say he's doing a hobby. I mean, that's actually one of the key factor, driving factor for me to do what I did was long time back when I was just starting off. My uncle was like, as a musician, you can't make a career. You know, it's a hobby. You should do economics, be a banker, like, you know, do this, do that, be the 9-to-5. This is definitely not a hobby. This is life. It's trying to express via music somehow, whatever that means, you know.
There is musicians in the Maldives that also are more towards the underground, but also to earn money, they work in resorts, in all these tourist resorts.
I'd say nearly 99% of any underground artist, which I know and respect here, does have that skill to be able to juggle working and going to resorts and playing long-hour DJ sets of shitty club music just so they could earn to get their other needs met, you know, like to be able to travel, to buy better equipments for their own studios and then work on their music. But again, they treat their underground music in a sense of a hobby because time doesn't allow them to, with them having to go on that way of earning.
I guess you are talking to these musicians a lot. What do they say about these resorts? Is it first of all a job that is well paid or not so well paid?
It's very well paid, which is why they do it. And especially the festive season, which Emol lives, is in the resort industry, in the entertainment industry, which is considered New Year's and Christmas time. That's when a lot of tourists, and you get like, you know, one person could earn like $2,000, $3,000 just by playing 3-4 hours, you know, and then that's big money. And even now, what musicians earn when they go to resorts to perform, it's really big money, which is why people do it, in my opinion.
And is it huge competition? Is there some main artists that get paid more and some are less, or is it more or less a job that everyone gets the same?
Now it's kind of becoming, in a way, there it's catering and there's equality. But it used to be just like how you said, there were certain artists which they would prefer and they would charge more as well. And previously there was a different like problem where Moldavian musicians were not getting that much opportunity, and they would bring like foreign artists who would like stay in-house for like 2-3 months, and they could just pay them like a minimum wage, and considering what Moldavians know is capable of being getting earned.
So it's artists from Asia, South Asia?
Asia, so different parts actually. Yeah, it's like Thai. I don't personally, because I'm Sri Lanka, I know a couple of Sri Lankans. There are a couple of Thai people who I personally knew who was here playing. But like I said, I grew up in Mali, but I lived most of my life, for 12 years, in Sri Lanka. So I was away from the scene here for a long time. And then I come back here and I tried to... Well, I needed to earn, right? So I couldn't do the resort music thing. For me, it was like selling my soul to play shitty music, which I'm not enjoying, just to earn. So I ended up teaching, which I enjoyed doing. Like, you know, teaching is, it's a wonderful thing to do. Like you, and I learn a lot while teaching as well. So for a few years, I was doing that here as a way of earning. 4-5 years down the line, I started to feel I was getting old. I needed to perform. So now I'm just, yeah, make my music and try to perform as much.
And if you, when you observe your friends that are working half underground and half in the resorts, I imagine it's really a weird situation where you're playing for tourists, lying on the beach, eating, drinking, maybe not, while you are working. You have no contact, or maybe strange contact. What does it make with psychology with the people? It's maybe a big question. I don't know, but maybe you have an answer. Maybe not.
Well, some of my friends who do like juggle both sides, not. I don't actually know anyone who enjoys doing the commercial aspect of it. No one which I know personally. Actually, one of my friends actually was able to play a recorded set and just keep that playing, and no one knew the difference, you know, and he was just able to be on his phone or whatnot. Because no one actually, like, people are just, like you said, it's being on the beach, and it's the different people you're catering to. And it's not catering to people who's there to actually listen to the music. In the underground scene, there's only a handful of people who I know who's actually broke out of here and performed out of this country. And people who came to actually listen to their music, and that feeling... It's amazing, you know. You don't get that from playing in those resorts. Like I said, I don't think none of them enjoys it. Truly, I don't think. They'll be lying if they say, oh, they might lose their job.
So we were Fira in the morning. It's 5 o'clock. 4 or 5 o'clock, you stand up. What do you do then?
Well, next up, work on myself a little bit, like, you know, do some meditation and whatnot. And then I start working. Currently, I have this India tour thing coming up for my psycho experimental project. So I'm every day sitting near my laptop and trying to figure out creative ways which I could do something totally new. Because it's not about DJing for me, it's about performing. So yeah, I would spend 4 or 5 hours doing that. Go visit a friend, stress-free, and come back to working on music. Or making something on Blender, which is this new 3D app which I learned in lockdown. Or working with making art. It's a continuous phase of creation for me.
And you said that you want to create something new. Is this a core drive? Because you could also say, I want to become better in one thing or so. But it's about doing something new.
It's about doing something new. That would be my driving force in everything which I'm doing, to be honest. Like currently, like you've heard my music. I'm ranging from rock music to singer-songwriter all the way to this crazy psytrance, crazy new thing, which they've dubbed it as experimental. And that seems to be growing. So I'm focusing more on developing that side, because that seems to be what's working. Like I told you before, music is what I want to be, what gives me the ticket and the passport for me to go all over the world and see places. I want to go there and play music. I want to go there and meet people who does the same thing, you know. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of lighter clicking sounds on this interview.
That's all right.
That's light sound effects. Like.
Yeah, make a short, you could do a short improvisation quickly.
With the lighter sound
yes,
thing.
Please,
yeah.
Please. But don't burn my phone, my microphone. Yeah. He's currently trying to burn my microphone.
See, here. Something new, some innovative way to make rhythm appear using fire near a microphone.
Yeah, but there can be new things that can be dangerous.
That's also true.
You could destroy my microphone, or you could get in troubles for something new sometimes as well. Is there some risky things that you try or tried?
Well,
what are they?
Growing up in Maldives, this whole thing has been risky, if I need to be very, very, very honest with you. Making music, which most normality thing is associated with drugs, that's one of the things which comes towards me, at me. Like, and because of that, I get like religious attacks as well. Like, you know, you're making the devil's music. I don't know what the devil's music is. It's definitely not electronic music, that's for sure. So yeah, there is a risk factor, me being from where I am. That is there for sure. That's because I do not conform into their methods of what they want me to be. Like you were saying earlier, like if I was going to the resorts and playing as a respected musician, these risk factors would be minimum. To be honest. But yeah. I can't say certain things.
That's all right. So in a way, it would help to be on the surface a respected musician or to do another job. Otherwise, you become a bit suspicious.
Yeah, but I learn now that if I keep my foot down and just keep going at it, slowly a change is happening, because at this point in life here in Maldives, I have earned some sort of a respect as a musician, because I remain true, like, and I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm not going, like, you know, but it took some time. So it's all about keeping true to yourself, in my opinion, and respect is gained, like, you know. Yeah, but there's still a long way to go.
How did things change in the Maldives, let's say, in the last 10 years, if you look, or maybe 15 years, if you look at, let's say, more underground kind of music? Were there people before you, generations before you, that are influential? What happened to them? How did the transition happen to your generation? You are now 34. You said. Can you explain a little bit to the outside world?
It's a very interesting topic to dwell into. Growing up, there was a really, really interesting music scene here. Like, cause I was a 90s baby, a 90s kid. And then that was when the world was going through, I suppose, the grunge era and everything. And it was the same here in Mali. There were a lot of punk bands. There was a lot of those things happening. There were also like a few like parties and things happening in houses. I do remember this really well. I remember in Mali there was like heavy metal shows happening. So, and there was lots of gigs where lots of bands, even my own house, like the room right next to my room, my cousins, they turned it into a record, like a studio, a practice studio. So you get like all sorts of heavy metal bands coming and playing all there. And there's lots of events, like people crowd surfing, everything. And then suddenly, and this happened while I was not even Maldives, I was in Sri Lanka at this point, going through my own music journey. And I remember going through YouTube and going, oh, wow, look at the Maldivian band. That's so cool. There was this one dude wearing an alien head playing drum and this girl with a hairdress singing amazing psychedelic songs. And I really want to come back here and be a part of that. Like, and I come back to realize religion played a huge role in changing everything. Okay, now when I think about it, it was somewhere in the 2000s when extremism, I suppose this was when after the 9/11 thing happened in the world and like, you know, extremism like spread everywhere. And because Maldives is 100% Muslim country, it was very easy for it to infest into here. And that changed a lot. A lot of bands stopped playing, a lot of musicians who were moderate Muslims would become like, you know, extreme in their thoughts. And that changed a lot. And a lot of people went into hiding. That is one factor. And the other factor that changed was when the whole political dynamic in this country started going on. There was a time when this country was just 30 years of just one president, like, you know, like a dictator or whatnot. And then right after that, it became more unstable, in my opinion, because now every 3 years, everyone's trying to figure out what to do. And we, the normal people, sometimes become victims of those things. There used to be an island where underground music would be held, like, you know, like both people from outside and like, you know, 3 day festivals. And this party got raided, like, you know, everyone's there, it's a festival, and they get raided from all sides, like, you know, police comes up, and they were all taken prison. It was traumatic for nearly everyone that was there. Maldives is such a small place that everyone that was there was basically the underground community. They all went into full hiding, and now, like, you know, after that, nothing much has actually been here happening for the sake of an underground. Like, that's what got me to start my label as well, like, you know, platform for underground musicians where they could grow, because I want to target them out into the world, because that's where they can grow. Like, you know, like, you get more music in the map. Like, let's say you get a world map and it's the map of music. You know, you turn on the radio, you can listen to Chinese, you can listen to Korean, you can Italian, French, get everything. No one knows or heard of a goddamn Divehi song. That's going to be really cool, you know, if it's out there. Yeah.
Can you say a bit more about your label that you used to run and now...
I'm still running it.
You said something that you stopped it.
Or... No, I didn't stop it. What happened? So the label started off 5 years ago, Valu Records. It was after my experience going to Atman Festival in Sri Lanka, when I first experienced dark psy and high tech and forest psy music, all this kind of music, which plays around with frequencies and it's hypnotizing. It's got me really interested. When I come back to Maldives, I knew there were a few producers here who was making magical hypnotizing music, and they're just uploading it onto SoundCloud and stuff. So, and I was going through my own personal thing. I was going through a divorce at that point, and I needed a purpose in life. So I just targeted on making this record label, Valu Records. Valu literally means forest in Divehi. And the reason which I chose that is when I was growing up, Valu Tere Kujjake, parents or people will say, oh yeah, you're acting like as if you come from the forest, not civilized. Yeah, we are children of the forest. I kind of embraced that and used that. That sounds nice. So what happened was, down the line, I had a few Maldivian artists, but they started getting death threats and different kind of things because they were associated with me, and they had to drop out of being associated with me. But now this, I've started this and I had to go on. At that point, that was my life. So I went to Sri Lanka, I signed up a few Sri Lankan artists, and then thanks to technology and internet, I was able to reach out. And now I have artists from Brazil, Finland, Iran, Lebanon signed up to the label. It's beautiful. It's organically been growing. Mind you, I didn't register the label anyway. It's just, it started as a thought, and now there's a following and this thing. And now that's how I got this tour thing happening next month, which was so out of blue. I get a contact from India. Apparently there's people who love this music and they won't do an India tour with me. So my suppose it is working slowly. It's happening. It's still on the found, starting steps. Fingers crossed. I could go forward. Yeah.
So do you sometimes wish that you would live in a bigger place, not in the middle of the ocean, 3 hours flight from Dubai, or 3.5 or even more?
Yeah, I do. I do wish that a lot, a lot. As a kid also, one of the questions which I would ask myself, why was I born here? I know my mind just was thinking differently when then, I suppose I couldn't understand the fact why we are here, and then everything we see on the TV is basically, that's it, you know. Any world which, again, back then, when any foreigner, now you've been here, you're in Mali, and you realize not many tourists are inside Mali, they are usually elsewhere else. So growing up, when we see someone like a white person, foreigner or tourist, you think it's a movie star? No, maybe he's friends with them. It's stupid, if you think about it. But that was how we imagined the world. For me, I've only been traveled only to Sri Lanka and India right now, just various circumstances. I would love to travel again, hoping music is what takes me there. But yeah, if with my mindset and what I can do with music and my art, if I was anywhere else but here, the speed would have been a little bit faster for me to climb up. That is for certain.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah? Sometimes these perspectives, if you live in a place, you want sometimes to go out, or you criticize it. If you're far from a place, everyone wants to come to the Maldives.
Yeah, true.
Because for the rest of the world, it seems to be a paradise, and it is. I was traveling around here now a little bit. It's amazingly beautiful, I mean.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing? Me being from Mali, I've traveled more in Sri Lanka and in India than I've traveled in Mali, in Maldives. Like, you know, I grew up in this concrete jungle, and then that's the thing, that's what the world does not realize, the thing about how the locals here live through. Like, you know, yes, I mean, it is easy, like, just get on a ferry and go, like, you know, to an island, but it's a long travel, like, you know, to go visit some of these islands, and it's so hard sometimes. Yeah. But the few places which I have seen, like, yes, growing up, like, you know, I remember going to resorts because my mom's friends and places, like, going to other islands whenever holiday come, like, and then I see all these pristine white beaches and beautiful turquoise. It becomes normality for us, right? So I guess we are spoiled, man.
So basically, and you close your curtains, basically.
Yeah. Mali is so small. If I open my curtains, all you see is buildings, right? But before there were buildings there, you could literally see the sunrise if you turn your head that side, and then 6 hours later you can see the sunset. Like, you can see both the oceans from here. That's how small this is, man. And it's a capital city.
Would you watch the sun go up and down?
Sometimes, yeah. Because we do have one of the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets that I cannot deny.
At least something. But on a more serious note, with all also the tension and maybe the not understanding of people around you, are there days or maybe also periods where you feel it's really tough, it takes courage, or you are super down, depressed?
That is, for me, I believe depression is a byproduct of having to live this really fast life which society demands us to live. And me being this creative who I am, it does weigh down on me a lot. So there are, like, some days I would wake up, I would just sit in front of my laptop, and 4 hours would pass by without me not doing anything and trying to figure out what I'm trying to do. Like, you know, my thoughts running from here and there. So it does become so heavy. And then I try to go out, try to meet people, but then it does, like, there's no one in that same mind frame as I am, in a sense, just very few people. And most of them did the smart thing, is left this place and living somewhere else where they can grow. So when I am living in Mali, which, like, started happen after the lockdown, before that I just lived in Sri Lanka for the longest of time, because I had my music, like, my band there. And after I went to Goa, that's the first time where I felt like home for some reason. You know, you hear all these stories about how Goa is, you know, the hippie wonderland and everything. It's only after I went there, like, I actually felt that. I mean, it's really commercial now for most people. But, yeah.
What was it that it made you feel home? Can you try to explain?
Yeah. I met people who literally is thinking exactly in the same way as I am, who are trying to make it work with their music, who are trying to make it with their art, whose brain does not accept the way society is working, this 9-to-5 working functions, having to be, I don't know, like, confirmed to normality. So, and all of these people, suddenly I met all of them there, and I felt like as if I'm not alone, because that was the biggest problem, I suppose, where this the root of the depression, which I felt being here, is I'm alone. You know, that's the thing.
And with your friends that left, so to use Skype and Zoom and things like this, does this help against loneliness in our digital world from your experience, or it's nothing
crazy
that is important?
So that's the thing. Most of the people who I knew from Maldives, once we're far away, there's little to no communication. But the people who I'm talking about, who I met in Goa, became like a second family. And these are the people who I'll have like WhatsApp conversations and like, you know, who are pushing me. Yeah, you can do it. Keep doing what you're doing. Like, you know, yeah, because they're not from here. So now I have like a vision. Okay, I'm going to go visit you at your place. Like, you know. Yeah. Well, yeah, but people who left from here, they just disappeared. I suppose they just closed the chapter. Or they're living a secret chapter because you cannot totally cut Maldives off if from here. So they would have to come visit their family or whatnot and then go live their life. But yeah. In Maldives, I didn't have friends. I had people who knew me. Big difference. Very big difference.
Can you explain?
Well, okay, so now friends, thought most of them were friends growing up because we were just, you know, people, we know each other and we can perceive it as friends, maybe two or three people who turn out to be really good people, but then it's a small place. Everyone knows you, everyone knows of you, and if you do something, they want to be friends with you, like, you know, be there for you. But when you need anything, no one's there. And then I meet people from around the world when I was living in Sri Lanka and when I was in Goa. True friends who would check up on you, who would, like, you know, like, keep touch and, like, who's, like, you know, there's a presence which rarely exists here. I'm not saying there isn't. There is one or two, a handful, maybe three people on one finger. But, yeah.
What about your family? Are they supportive or worried or disappointed sometimes? Or how do they look at you and your life and your career?
Well, I can say they have somehow managed to accept me for me. In the beginning, there were truffles, let's say, because as parents, they will have certain expectations for their children. They would want them to be good in their life. I am thankfully blessed to have come from a family which is pretty open-minded and not that in the box as most other Maldivian families are. So that gave me the opportunity to pursue this. But initially, they would, and even still, even now, I would get the thing about, Fira, you should go to a job, you know, you should try to earn. I mean, as parents and as people who love you, as family, I understand they would want the best for you. But I'm accepted.
What do they do as a job, your parents?
My mom is basically retired now. She's not working anymore. She worked a lot since a lot. Now she just lives a life, I suppose, runs marathons, or goes all around the world, goes to the gym. She's healthier than me.
And your dad, he's a...
My dad... So I never knew my dad growing up. So that must have been one of the root factors of my really radical... I can swear, right? Fucked up, like, childhood, which I had growing up in the city of Male. Like, you know. Yeah, that... I never knew my dad. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what this makes with one if you don't know your dad, because I've never experienced it. But I guess it's a big...
But that did play a huge part, like, you know, me not wanting to accept things as it is, I suppose. Because, like, you know, you go to school as a kid and, like, oh, there's a dad. What's the dad? I never actually knew that. I grew up in a family, it's like a lot of females. So, and I have uncle figures who were like dead figures to me. But then I was a runaway child, mostly, because I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. I became a junkie at a very young age and went all of that thing. And then at the age of 16, 17, was when I left here. I told my mom, like, you know, I don't like this life which I'm living. So that's when I went to Sri Lanka and started my music band and got clean from the smack. If I would have remained here and not went, one of the two, like most of the friends who I grew up with, most of them has either passed away or are in prison. Or the other side, they're converted, they're like married, got kids, and they're like, you know, they're living the system. Good for them. But they stopped dreaming.
And was it that far that you also lived on the street?
Well,
when
I'd never, like, the truth is, I would never actually have to. I never did have to because I did have a place. I had, like, I was one of the really blessed children because my mom, I grew up with my own room, man. Not every kid in Mali did have that. But because of these other factors, which of me being a kid getting all these troubled thoughts, I chose to run away and sometimes, like, you know, be on the streets. And there was a choice. It was not like, you know, there was no other way.
So is it too oversimplified to say that music, and also you mentioned frequencies, quite in between the lines sometimes, is a way out, a way forward? Is it something healing or?
It is very much. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little little brief explanation on a little philosophy of mine.
Please, some philosophy.
So, music, I believe everything is music and everything is frequencies, right? It's so strange for me to say this. Even if, let's say, look at this chair, it's existing because it's certain molecules and atoms vibrating at a certain frequency. Coming down, it comes down to goddamn frequencies. Now, our life, which we have ahead of us, I believe life is a sine wave. And sine waves is a really smooth wave which goes up and down. How much it oscillates between these, it varies. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's this. In your life, sometimes you're going to feel like you're on the top of the world. Everything's like brilliant. Like, you know, like when you're a kid, it must be the first time you had your ice cream or something. You're like, yeah. And then out of nowhere, you might fall down. Some skater punk comes, drops that ice cream off your hand and just falls off. And you're like, and you're at the very bottom. And then there's an uphill slush. Again, something else happens in your life. And then it goes on in life, you know. It escalates from the kid's ice cream to you becoming like a, I don't know, a rock star, or you're getting like a jackpot or whatnot. And at the same time, you have all this downer right next to it. So I believe we need to live flatline somehow. So when we get too much, no, like, you know, don't get too, like, enveloped by it. No, it's not going to be there forever. And then when you lose everything, no, that's better times coming up because it's already happened. And that is constant. And that's what I feel from my life up to now.
Does it also mean that if things become intense, exciting, that we have to stop ourselves sometimes?
No, it means we need to be wary.
To be flat. Oh, wary is enough.
Yeah. Just be wary, because we are humans. We need, like, we have sensations. We want to enjoy. We want to have new experiences. Don't let knowing a downer is going to come stop you from having, because it's going to come anyway. There's nothing you can do to stop it, right? Just be wary that it's going to come.
What is musically or sound-wise the things you are working on at the moment that are things that you try to achieve that you have up in the sinus wave in the end, that you have some excitement? What are
like
you searching, trying?
Like I said, everything for me is frequency-based. That even comes to emotions and even thoughts for me. I believe that when we are feeling sad or pissed off or any negative energy, we start to feel really cold. Our heartbeat goes slow. We are oscillating at a really slow wave. When we're really excited and up there, we oscillate a really fast wave. And I believe maybe that could be manipulated by music. And I believe it's already happening. Like we sometimes listen to sad music without knowing. We can resonate with what the vocalist is saying. Or sometimes even no words. If we're playing around with frequencies and how it's based rhythmically placed, it can invoke emotions, right? So I think that's the term experimental. And my music right now, which I'm producing, this niche, which is actually, I think, could make it work. It's really crazy. Not many people truly appreciates or understands the music, but appreciates the music because it's freaking hard to make sometimes. Yeah.
How do you do this balance? Because I guess, first of all, it's important that the music excites you when you're producing. I'm just thinking out loud. But there might be something as well while creating where you think, oh, I hope this track will resonate with people.
Yeah.
And is there some compromises sometimes that you put to the music because you think it might work a bit
better?
I
did used to do that. Like in my first album, which I released as Yakarat, that's my artist name for my Psytrance Psycho project. The first album which I released, I never went above extreme tempo ranges because I was sort of a compromise in my mind, which I'm making, even though I want to explore these more faster depths, which I could dwell into. Many people listening to this music doesn't like it. So I,
what means most faster depth?
Well, okay. So faster tempo range with more depth into it. Now, let's say I've produced music that's ranging at 264 BPM to sometimes 300 BPM, but I want the listener to feel like as if they're listening to 100 BPM or 90 BPM. I mean, you're just basically subdividing the music by two and placing instruments or layers or there which a person can more. But you have this really fast-paced kick that's going on, but you're in this really deep place. So I suppose just made that word up, a faster depth.
That's quite nice, a faster depth.
Yeah.
Is this something do you are you inspired by some artists that do similar things, or how did you get to that?
My life-changing experience was when I went to Atman Festival and first heard like crazy dark psy artists like Megalopsy and other amazing artists. But then when I came to Goa and I went to watch Goa Gil perform, he was doing this 24-hour thing. And before going to Goa Gil, I never even bothered listening to a CD of his or anything. In my mind, that's Goa Psy, and that's kind of, a little slower or so. I was dubbing it ecstasy music because most probably, people just pop pills and, and that's what I thought I was going to hear, but that was not what I heard when I heard Goa Gil perform. He was playing really extreme, music where it's ritualistic would be the right term. And I was like, man, I'm not even creating anything crazy considered what he says is normal. Yeah, that's a big inspiration, actually, after the whole thing in Goa.
So that's something about surface and depth as well.
That yeah.
To create a music that on the surface is quite chilled, maybe not even sounding too complicated, while below it's completely...
There's a different realm to it. Yeah, it's a different world of frequencies which can be explored and manipulated. That's the beauty of this genre, in my opinion. Like, when you play a normal guitar or anything, you're limited with the amount of frets which you have. And then if you want to go beyond it, you can use an FX pedal, but then you're limited with whatever parameters which you're given with that. But in electronic music, you can go well deep into these, you know, even a basic kick sound, you could just go deep inside and just you have that freedom, which was what really drove me into electronic music more. And even this kind of electronic experimental music. Okay, so I believe the normal psytrance and techno and the EDM musics and the EDM festivals like Tomorrowland and everything are basically the Justin Biebers and the Backstreet Boys of the electronic music. And then you have this really hardcore, like breakcores and all these other things. Those are like the Rammsteins and the Metallicas. Like, you know, and if you see them, you see all these colorful people wearing like, you know, unicorns and fairies. And you see black leather people over here with like swags. The same thing in the electronic realm, basically.
What are your plans in the... You go to India now, first time, you said.
Well,
that's very soon.
Yeah, next month. This month, it's the first, sorry.
Yeah, well, of October. First of October.
So my plan is to go on 15th, because I have this. Yeah, it's my first time going as a tour being booked. I've been to India a few times. Like I said, I was in Goa. And while I was in Goa, I was able to perform privately, like... And I was able to play with my guitar and everything. But this is the first time getting booked to play in Pune, in Bangalore, in Goa, in Cochin. So there's like a few venues and I'm going to be there till February. It's amazing, actually. It's crazy that it's happening.
That's true. Yeah, so thank you. We will open the air conditioning.
Oh, yeah,
as
I can
well.
See the sweat pouring from your forehead right now.
Just a little bit. Thanks a lot, and
this was really interesting. It's a pleasure, man. I was able to pretty much express myself like properly, you know. And thank you for that. It made me comfortable for me to be, you know.
Cool. We're still recording. The compliment will come at the beginning of the podcast. No. So now the air conditioning is working. It's 27, a good thing, because I always ask myself how cold I should put it.
I realized that normal room temperature is supposed to be 27, and a lot of people in Maldives put their ACs 18. I'm like, what do you want to live in the South Pole? Like, fuck's sake, man.
Okay, well, goodbye. This was Fira on the 9th floor.
Goodbye. On the 9th, Fira on the 9th floor. I'm writing a song.
Long take.